in the 19th chapter,
oh,
the book of Luke in the 19th chapter. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, for all that we have heard, for the testimonies of your provisions, the testimonies of your truth, the testimonies of your word and the faithfulness to live, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that now you will speak and we shall hear. We will be encouraged, Lord God. We will be changed. We will be convicted. We will, Father God, be relieved. We will be awestruck at just who you are. But most of all, Father God, we would give you the glory. We surrender now in the name of Jesus to your will.
Yes.
Speak and have your way. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
If you go to the book of Luke and go to the 19th chapter, God's going to share with us one of his parables that so many have heard. It's known as the parable of talents, the parable of the 10 pounds and his talents and what God wants us to do and how it should work out. And we're going to read it all. So just bear with us. Find your spot. We're going to read verses 11 through 27. We're going to read it all. So just bear with us because we are going to read it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it reads, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem," almost there, "and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us." Y'all know how we get. We always got something to say. That's "And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then the first saying, Lord, thy pound have gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound have gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reapest that I did not sow. Verse 23 says, wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and for him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Verse 27, but those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And the Lord asks us a question. He asks us a question. What will you say when he comes back? What will you say when he comes back? Just in case there's some confusion, is there anybody on here right now that does not believe the Lord is coming back? And it's okay to say amen. If you don't think he's coming back, make it known, make it known, make it known. That's okay, that's okay. But I'm here to tell you, he is coming back.
Amen.
He said in his word, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. John 14, he says that. He says that. That's a promise of God. And I believe he's coming back. He went to prepare a kingdom for us to live in. He prepared the way before he left here. But he prepared the kingdom, and he's going to come and receive us into his kingdom. I don't know about you, but there are many illustrations, but I just believe that when he comes back and receives us into the kingdom, there's going to be the granddaddy of parties, y'all. There's going to be the party above all parties. There's going to be the celebration that we've never been able to celebrate. We thought we've celebrated some fear. Somebody turned 100 years old and you had a celebration. Somebody turned 80 or 40 or 60. Y'all know how we do the big numbers, the big round 10 numbers. We celebrate beyond all celebrate. Somebody don't get it. Somebody celebrated. Did you not hear that Deacon Solomon and his wife celebrated, said, let's have a date night? That's a celebration of who they are. Somebody in here has been on date nights. I used to have a standing date night with Sister Rogers every Monday night during the summer. We have a date night because I go play golf. Then we have a date night because we don't want to forget who we are. Somebody needs to understand God is coming back for his date night.
Oh, my God.
If that don't tickle your fancy, then let me tell you, God is coming back for his honeymoon. He's coming back for his bride, Jesus, which is the church, so that he can celebrate.
Yes.
And when he comes back, it's not going to be singular. It's going to be all hands on deck. Hallelujah. All hands on deck. Anybody and everybody that accepted him as their personal savior, you on board. Somebody calls it a family reunion. That's all hands on deck. Did you punch your ticket? Have you paid your price? Have you said, yes, Lord? You can't buy it with money. You can't get on a train or a plane. You got to say yes, Lord, so that the blood washes you, and all of a sudden you will fly into the sky when he comes back, and your ticket has already been paid for.
Amen. My God.
I heard Deacon James, as he said, look, it's just such a joy when you know that you've passed down the information and now they've accepted the information. So the next generation is taking up the gauntlet and preparing themselves to be their leaders. Well, I come to tell you, there's a question they're going to answer. You, what will you say when he comes back?
Amen.
My Lord.
What will you say? What will you say? What will you say? Well, in this parable, there is some good things and there is some not so good things. In this parable, it describes all of people. It describes where we are and what we got to do. But the question is, what will you say? Well, let's think about this. Let's look at this. This man. Let's look at this. The first point today is, it says, occupy till I come. Occupy till it's come. It's in the scripture. Luke 11 through 13. He said, again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also in 20. Thank you. Sorry about that. He says, look, and they heard these things and added and spake a parable because he was not in Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Some people are saying God's kingdom. They wanted the kingdom of God right now. But that ain't what it was. The kingdom of God ain't here yet as far as this final place. The work that we do is of the kingdom. But this is not the kingdom. The kingdom is where we're going, but we're doing kingdom work till he comes back. And then look at what he says. He said, there was a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. I'm going to get it. It's describing what Jesus has done. And to return. And he called his servants. He called his 10 servants. He said, deliver them some money. He delivered them these pounds, this money. And he said, occupy till I come. In other words, he said, there's some work for you to do till I come back. That's what he said. This word occupy means about fruitfulness, means about work, means about being about the owner's business. Say, occupy till I come. Well, somewhere down the line, we miss this message. We miss this thing about occupying till he come, and we just want to receive until he come. Well, I come to tell you this new life that you have, this new blessing that you have, this new joy that you have is not about occupying, is about occupying, not just receiving. Too many of us get it wrong. We just say, hey, I got mine, you get yours. I want to take mine, I want to lock myself in a room, and everything is okay. That's not how you occupy, y'all. That's not how you occupy. This parable will show you some things that if you do that, you're going to say the wrong things. If you get your 10 pounds, you get your pound, and you just hold it in your room, and you do nothing else, and you don't go and share with somebody, you ain't occupying like God told you to occupy.
My Lord.
And there's some things that are going to be said that you don't want to hear. He says, occupy till I come. Well, he didn't just say this in Luke. He just didn't say this. Luke. He said, you need to be busy working until I come. You need to make sure that you are doing the work of the church. Some people say, no, you're doing the work of Christ. You're increasing what I gave you. You're adding interest to what I gave you. You're adding you're adding some substance to what I left for you. You're not just hogging it all to yourself.
My Lord.
That's why people are misled today, where they say, well, I don't have to go talk to nobody. I can worship online. I can stay in my house, and I don't have to be bothered. No, that's not the word of God. You got to interact with somebody.
My Lord.
The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of the saints. Why? Because you got to interact with somebody. God will send you an assignment at some point.
Yes.
That's what relationships are all about. Well, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe me. I'm just going to share a few scriptures with you that the word talks about this. If you look at Romans, it says, occupy till I come. In the fifth chapter of Romans, look, he says, look at what God says. He says, the fruits of justification by faith. He says, wait a minute. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that what? Tribulation worketh what? Patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Look, when the owner leaves, when the king leaves, and we're all by ourselves, we just want to be saved. He said, no, I'm going to get a kingdom, but you got work to do. You got to occupy, so guess what? You got to go through some stuff until I get back. When you make an investment, it don't just happen. You can say, oh, you're my investment counselor. Here's $10,000 investment. Guess what? There's a whole lot of work that goes behind the scenes to give fruit to your investment. There are people researching companies and doing all kind of things. When we have been given the charge to occupy till Jesus comes back, we got to invest some things. We got to invest some time to study. We got to invest some time to pray. We got to invest some time talking with somebody. We got to invest some hurt because somebody stepped on our toes. Somebody stepped on our heart. Somebody misused us and abused us. We got to invest the time and goodness that God gave into somebody else. Or most importantly, you got to invest love into somebody.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Why? Because God invested love in you.
Amen.
Why? Thank he you. Died for you. Jesus. He didn't just do it for you to say, I got mine and I'm good. That ain't going to work. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? There were some specific charges that God gave on what he told Paul to tell the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he said, look, it's real specific. Verse 7 says, look, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In order for the Spirit to manifest, it's not for you to be selfish. It's to profit. It means that there's going to be an increase.
Yes.
There's going to be somebody that you shared the word with that now accept the word, that now was part of the increase. Your 1 pound is going to increase from 1 pound to 2 pounds, or 2 pounds to 3 pounds, or 3 pounds to 4 pounds. Some people get a whole lot of pounds because they're out there sharing the word.
Amen.
I like what Sister Roger said earlier. I like it. She didn't know what I was going to preach about, but she said, what? I can't get out. I can't do this, but God has given me a word in due season that I might speak to encourage. So guess what? She is laying increase to those that God is sending to her so that she can expound what? The kingdom of God.
My God. Thank you, Lord.
Somebody, you ought to get this. You ought to get this. You need to understand, because somebody you've been sitting, somebody you don't say, somebody you don't do, you just doing your thing. Nobody knows you're doing anything because you ain't telling nobody. You ain't sharing, but you're happy. But God say that ain't enough. You got to occupy till I come. There's some more work. You don't believe me? Go to Galatians in the 6th chapter, Galatians verse 4. He said what? But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in somebody else. You got to prove that the between you and God, you doing what he says, and that comes by telling somebody.
Amen.
When you tell somebody, your babies know Jesus. When you tell somebody, your grandbabies know Jesus. When, thank you, Brother James. Thank you, Brother James. When you tell somebody, your neighbors will eventually know Jesus. When you tell somebody, the man that's on the street corner or the woman's on the street corner will eventually know Jesus. When you tell somebody, when you occupy, when you take the investment, take the love that God has given you, and you invest it in somebody else, and you work with them, and you share with them, somebody else is going to be, and your life is enriched when you know that you've shared a word, and somebody accepted Christ because of what you did. You know that you have been blessed when somebody's been encouraged because of the word of God that you shared, and you know that they've been blessed, not for your glory, for God's glory. God, use me as you please. We say that song, use me, Lord, in your service.
Yes.
He's Amen. Preparing me. He's preparing me. We sing all these songs. We sing all this song. It's great to sing a song and get on stage and shout and shout, but then it's time to go to work. And when we go to work and you in the down part, trying parts of the life, and you going through some things and you're hurting like everybody else, can you forget about your hurt and do what God says? We did it in Sunday school today. That's what Joseph did. Joseph forgot about his hurt. He forgot about his brother selling him. He forgot about Potiphar's wife accusing him of rape. He forgot about the man in prison, forgot him when he got out, and Joseph just kept doing the right thing. But then God said, okay, Joseph, I've given you a talent. They coming to get you. You tell them what I said and give them the instructions. And part of the instructions said, look among you for somebody wise. And who was wiser? The man said, Pharaoh said, ain't nobody wiser than you, Joseph.
Amen.
So guess what? Now you're going to be second in command. Joseph had, he gave a testimony to bring God glory. He named his children. He named Manasseh and said, what? But I will forget about all that happened and all I went through. Then he said, Ephraim, I got double favor.
Amen.
Occupy. If you go to 1 Peter, occupy. If you go to 1 Peter, look what he says in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter in the 10th verse, he says, look at this. As every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You can't lock it up. You can't bottle it up. You can't stick it on a shelf. You can't keep it in your house. You've got to share it with somebody. And there ain't no excuse. Well, I'm too shy. No excuse. Because you ain't doing the speaking. God is. God ain't bashful. He ain't afraid of nobody.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank Amen. You, Lord. See, he going to take away all your excuses. Well, I don't know the word like that. Seek me and what I will teach you, everything that you said. Stuff will pop into your mind you don't even know you heard before. He says, you got to occupy. There's some things that we got to do. The second thing, and we got to be careful. We got to be careful because there's some folks up in here. There's some folks. Now, I'm not talking about anybody on this call. Nobody on this in this service. Ain't talking about, but there's some folks out here who's saying some stuff that they ought not be saying. They speak in damnation to themselves. But look at this. He says, secondly, not for me. He said, look, I'm going, and I got 10 servants, and I gave them a pound. But then there were some folks who were always standing around on the outside. They got stuff to say, and this is what they said. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign. Uh-oh. They were, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're going. I don't care how much money. You ain't going to reign. There's somebody saying, I ain't going to give my life to Christ. There's somebody saying, yo, you holy rollers, y'all don't rule over me. They have no idea what they're saying, because it ain't us who rule, it's God who rules. He said, not Amen. For me. So what are you going to say? It says, not Amen. For me. Yeah. So who's saying not for me? If you own this calling, you struggling with this, or you still got some of your old ways saying, not for me, I'm declaring to you today, in the name of Jesus, let it go, because it is for you. You cannot say not for me, because God is supreme. God reigns over everything. And guess what? If you don't accept his love and walk in his love, you're going to be cast down at the end of this message, and you ain't going to like what you're going to hear. But a word is coming. Don't say not for me. It is for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus' love is for everybody. Jesus' love is for those who might have forgot about it for 100 years, but on 101 days, yes, he still got you.
My God. Thank you, Lord.
But it says what? His citizens hated him.
Yes.
Well, why would they hate him if he had everything? Well, jealousy, envy, pride. He got too much money. He entered a political party I want to be about. You know, I want to see the other side of this and the other side of that. Oh, maybe he's the wrong gender. I don't know. There's all kind of reasons that we use. But the reality is, they say, not for me. You ain't going to reign.
Mm.
And here's the reality and truth today. Some of our best friends, some of our relatives, some of our acquaintances are saying this. And one of the reasons they're saying it is because we're not saying he loves you. We're not saying you need to. We're not saying you need to come occupy. You need to be a part of the family of God because his love is so great. We're not saying nothing and letting them stay in that place. Anytime you hear somebody say, not for me, you ought to say something, because guess what? If you love them and you care about them, even if you don't and you hate them, you know that statement means they're on their way to hell and there ain't nothing good in hell. So we need to be concerned about somebody that Jesus came when we were on our way and paid the price for us, that we can tell somebody they don't have to be out there by themselves.
Amen.
And do you want to know something? The best time sometimes to do that is when people are going through, because they're looking for hope. Ooh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. They're looking for hope. They're looking for some way to hold on. They're looking for something that's different than what they've been going through. Those of us who have hope, we can stand, we can sustain ourselves. Why? Because God's got us. He's the Lord of angels' armies. He has encampments around us. So whom shall I fear? I'm not afraid of famine. I'm not afraid of corona. I'm not afraid of any of this. Why? Because the Lord has his angels. I'm not afraid of negative attitudes. I'm not afraid of naysayers. Why? Because I am a positive sayer. I'm a cup runneth over God. Because that's what the word teaches me.
Amen.
My God. Thank you, Lord. My God. My God.
So the question is, what will you say when he comes back? When Jesus comes back, when the older nobleman comes back, when he's gone and received his kingdom and he comes back now to receive you into this other kingdom, what are you going to say? Well, let's look at what it says. Then the first said, and we got a few responses here, y'all. We got a few responses here, y'all. I'm not going to tell you which one is you. You know which one is you. Maybe you're the first one. Maybe you're the first one. You're like, hey, I made this thing. I had five. Now I turned your one into 10. I got 1,000% interest on it. I really did good. I've shared with somebody. I've witnessed to somebody. I've labored with somebody. I spoke in due season with somebody. I encouraged with somebody. I stayed up all night long with somebody. I studied the Bible with somebody. I prayed with somebody. I did all these things that they might have known it was me, but I told them it wasn't about me. It was about you, Lord. It's about Jesus the Christ. It was about you and the kingdom, Lord God. It's your kingdom. I didn't take no credit. I didn't want to be no pat on the back. But I gave it about you.
Jesus.
But hey, and he said, yeah, well done, that good and faithful servant. I'm going to make you what? 10 cities. You got 10 cities.
My God.
I had a revelation. I thought, ooh, maybe we're going to have more cities in heaven. I said, but whatever God's got, the whole kingdom is mine. When I get to heaven, the whole kingdom's mine. Somebody say, you crazy. How can you say that? Say, because I'm an heir. Hey, hallelujah. Because God, I'm an heir. That God means the whole kingdom is mine. Because I'm an heir. I'm a joint. So all of heaven is mine. All of heaven I get to reign. All of heaven I get to walk. All of heaven I get to shout. All of heaven I get to scream. Jesus, all of heaven Jesus. I get to do. I ain't going to cry because ain't going to be no tears. But I'm going to shout hallelujah around the throne. So all of heaven is there.
Amen. Thank you.
Maybe that ain't you. Maybe you ain't got that much yet. Maybe you haven't reached it. So maybe you say, well, you know, I had this, but I turned the one into five. He said, all right, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm going to make you ruler over five cities. He said, that's all right. That's all right. And I think about this, whether it's 10 or whether it's five. And I realized that when I was coming up and I was in college, I met a man. He said, let me share something with you, Mr. Freddie. He said, you're a young Christian and you're trying to learn this thing. But let me tell you what God's greatest joy. There's going to come a point in your life that one day you'll realize that you're going to be with somebody at the moment that they accept Christ.
Mm.
And he said, if you ever with somebody at that very moment, it will change your life.
Amen.
You My will Lord. See and experience the humility, yet the relief and the joy of knowing the Savior.
Yes.
He said, that's a very rare occurrence for people. Because mm-hmm. right. most of the time, when they come to the church, the decision's already been made.
My God.
They're just carrying out the process. But to be at somebody's side when you ask the question and then they finally say, yes.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen.
So what a joy, what a joy, what a joy. But then there are too many people. There are too many people. There are too many people. When it came to this last answer, said, I wrapped it up.
Mm.
He said, I wrapped it up. I laid it in a napkin and I hid it. I hid it. I knew you were a steer man. I knew that you were caring about all the things that you do, but I wasn't going to take a chance. I wasn't going to take a risk. And it's too many of us today that know this kingdom of God and we know Jesus, but yet we don't want to take a risk. We don't want to tell somebody. We don't want to share with somebody because we're afraid that they might reject us. We're afraid that we might bumble it up. We're afraid that they might get mad at us because, oh, but it's not the proper thing to do. You don't talk politics and religion. That's the biggest lie that's against the kingdom of God. You talk God all the time.
Amen.
As God directs, you talk.
Jesus, Jesus.
He will give you what to say, how to say it, when to say it. But when you don't do anything, now understand, this is talking about the faith and his unbelief. And so he missed the mark. But in here, there's also those that we know God, but all we do is we run and we want to get ours, and we ain't worried about sharing it. I'm going to study till I can't study no more. I'm going to grow in his word. I can't grow no more. I'm going to pray until I can't pray no more. We ain't sharing it with nobody.
Mercy.
But that ain't the way this thing works. Because see, if God has given you a talent and God has given you something, you need to teach somebody and share with somebody so they learn what you know. Oh, let me give you this illustration. Let me make this point. Maybe praying is what you do. But if praying is what you do, I'm just going to go home and I'm just going to pray. That ain't what God tells us to do. There's more to it than just go home and pray. We're responsible for help teaching somebody else to pray.
My Lord.
So we got to encourage somebody else to pray. You want to join my prayer group? Great. How do we pray? Great. What do we pray? Great. There's got to be some learning going on. There's got to be some transitioning going on. There's got to be some help going on. But that means you got to tell somebody.
Amen.
So prayer groups don't grow if nobody don't tell nobody. So, somebody missed that. Somebody missed that. So, hey, I'm part of a prayer group, but I don't tell nobody we praying. I'm part of a prayer group. I don't ask for prayer. I'm part of a prayer group. I don't pray for nothing but only my 30 minutes while we here, then I'm done. That ain't the way this thing works. You got to be an example to somebody to pray. You got to be an example to somebody to study. Did you not hear Brother Jay say, we've been doing this since 2002, and now after 18 years, now those grandkids who were babies and not even thought of yet have now come to say, hey, we want to join your call, your Bible study. We want to learn. Why? Because they've been watching. They've been understanding. You've been telling somebody. You've been talking about. Somebody needs to know why Jesus, you go to church Jesus, on Sunday.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I go to worship to lift up the name of the Lord. I go to hear a word. I go to see the people. Do you know the most frustrating thing about all of this COVID is we don't see each other?
Mm.
Amen.
Maybe you took it for granted. Maybe it didn't mean it. But to look upon your face every week, God reveals exactly what's going on and what to pray for. When I don't see your face, I can't necessarily see in your face what your prayer and your needs are. I depend on the Spirit, and the Spirit still tells me. But there was some time when I look upon your face. I just see you walk in the door. God said, this is what they're in need of. This is what they're in need. And he speaks to the other saints. That's why the assembly of the saints is so important, because God reveals. His revelation, his prophetic word goes into play. And now, you know, but what is taking over? I'm just being plain here. I'm just being plain. You don't want your face show. That's between you and God. You ask God yes or no and do what he said. But you don't know how you blocking your blessing.
That's right. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's a blessing to be seen.
Yes.
But there will come a day you won't be seen.
My God. Mm-hmm.
Look upon my face, look upon my gray, look upon my naps and curls that don't go the wrong way. I'm okay with that, but to be seen, I know I'm still in the land of the living. I still got one more moment to do what thus said the Lord. So what are you going to say? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Are you going to say, yes, Lord, I did what you told me? Or are you going to say, oh, Lord, I forgot. And I know what the scripture said. He's going to forget all of your shortcomings. Yes, he is. But there's an accountability that still goes to all the joy we live in and we're losing every single day. There's a joy in obedience to Christ.
Amen, amen.
He said, for I feared, look at that word, I feared in verse 21. I feared because thou art a steerman. I feared, not I know, I feared.
Lord God.
If he's encamped at the angels around you, if he's covered you in his blood and given you his spirit to teach, lead, and guide, and direct you to all things, why would you fear the one who saved you?
My Lord.
Ooh, somebody answer that for me. Somebody, why would you fear the one who saved you? That's all. Say, occupy. We got work to do. We got some talents. Not for me. Don't say not for me. Don't say not for me. Don't say I won't accept Jesus. When we hear somebody say that, we ought to pray hard, because we know the damnation and the hell that's about to happen for them in their life when Jesus comes back. I ain't got nothing to do with that. God, y'all talk about. We don't. They don't understand how painful it's going to be. And our love for them ought to cause us to show love and to stay on the wall and keep talking, and keep sharing. Because guess what? It too will come to pass. And then the last of it, because see, sometimes we say stuff and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You ask for it, you got it. 14-27. You asked for it. Verse 14 says what? But his citizens hated him, sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Guess what? In verse 27, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Guess what? When it's judgment day, what is the king going to say? What is King Jesus going to say? Depart from me, I know you not, and you're going to be cast into a lake of fire. And guess what? That's your doom. He ain't going to kill you, but you have died, because you will not enter into the heavenly kingdom where you will burn in a lake of fire. That will be your eternal death. You asked for it, you got it. All those that ain't no Jesus, all those that I ain't got to serve, all those that I ain't got to surrender, guess what? You asked for it, you got it. Now, guess what? I don't want them to get it. I refuse to give up on them until I got no more breath in my life. Because one day, something's going to turn, and hopefully, they will get it. But if you keep asking for it, you're going to get it.
Amen.
Oh, now let me bring this to the believers. To the believers. If you keep believing that old stuff of worldliness that ain't of God, you're going to get some worldliness results.
Mercy.
No faith, no power. No prayer, no power. No study, no power. I'm in the kingdom. But if you don't study his word, if you don't pray to the Lord, if you don't permit the Spirit to have over, you ain't going to have no power. And you're going to be sitting around looking around just like they were talking about, well, he can't reign. You're going to be like, well, why do they always see this stuff? Why is it always happening to them and it ain't happening to me? Because you asked for it. The other things of the world are more important.
Mercy, Lord.
No prayer, no power. No study, no power. Just that simple.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
What did Jesus say? Just watch for me. Could you not watch me for just an hour? When they asked the question, why come we couldn't? He said, these things come by what, only fasting and praying?
Lord Jesus.
Let me give you this illustration. Let me give you this illustration. When Elijah came around the widow woman and her son, and he said, fix me something to eat. Her declaration was, this is all I got. Somebody has come to you and they've been in need. And you looked around and you didn't have much. So you went, I can't help you. The widow woman didn't do that. She said, I perceive that you are
my God,
a man of God. So I'm going to be obedient
amen
to what you said. And because of her obedience and because she was willing to occupy, she fixed and fed. And when she turned back around, her meal never got empty.
My God. My God.
Glory
my
God.
God. My God.
I would tell you, I would tell you, there are those who say they don't believe in Jesus. But when they see Jesus in you, they'll do whatever God tells them to do because they see the Jesus in you.
Glory.
So see, but if you're not asking for it, and you're not doing what God says, then you're asking for the opposite.
Oh, Jesus.
So the first thing I want you to understand is, don't just keep it to yourself. Don't think I can go home, I can do my thing in my home, I can study and I can pray, but I ain't telling nobody and I ain't sharing nobody, I ain't putting them out there like that, I ain't trying to be there, I ain't going to leave the house if God don't tell me to leave, even if he tell me I ain't going to go. You can't do it. There's a divine appointment of what God is telling us to do that we have to do.
Yes.
And when we do, we're given our answer ahead of time. So here's the irony. Most of us think we won't have to give an answer until we get there. The answer is already going to be there because it's going to be based on what we've done. Uh-oh. Yeah, I know. We don't like that. Your actions of how you live your life complete all the answers Jesus is going to need.
My God.
You can't wait to get there and say, why did he ain't going to ask you? That ain't the question. Because he already knows. So how we live our life answers for us before we get there. Before we get there. Did we say yes? We said yes. That's step one. Did we accept it? Yes, we have. Now, were we obedient until we get there? Now, here's the best part of all of this. Jesus is not going to wait till we get to heaven to give us our rewards. The more you do here in obedience, the more blessed you are. You know why? Because you have his peace, you have his joy, you have his long suffering, you have his humility, and you can walk and climb mountains and ain't got no feet. Yes.
My God.
You can swim and ain't got no arms. You can speak and ain't got a tongue to talk with.
Amen.
Y'all hear me? Your actions speak for you.
Amen.
So this is what he says. What will you say when he comes back? How you live your life speaks volumes for what you do. Sunday school, how Joseph lived his life spoke volumes Pharaoh said, "Come here, leaders. Is there anyone more wiser than this one, who wasn't even one of them?" He brought the stranger out of prison to be the number two in all the land of Egypt.
Right. Yes, yes.
Jesus has taken you from the piles of the dirt.
My God.
And elevated you to be joint heirs with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So what would you say when he comes back? It's easy. Thank you, Lord.
My God. My God.
Thank you, Lord.
My God.
Thank you, Lord.
My
Thank
God.
You, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your joy.